Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
The Department of Justice has concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe that the Minneapolis Police Department and the City of Minneapolis engaged in a pattern or practice of conduct that violates the First and Fourth Amendments of the United States Constitution. There is also reasonable cause to believe that they engage in conduct that violates Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Safe Streets Act, and the Americans with Disabilities Act.
In case you were wondering, like, what, you know, they were going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
There you go. That's Merrick Garland, who came out today. And he's saying, look, this is that we did this investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department, the George Floyd stuff. And this is what we came out with. If you honestly thought they were going to come out with a different outcome than this, you cray.
Yeah.
They could have just, like, you know, they could have saved everybody the time. And just, you know, we'll just come out with this. We'll just do this tomorrow. We'll just come out with it the next day. They could have done that. And it would have been the exact same outcome. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon, to start our Friday. We made it. No big dumps yet. No big, oppo dumps, nothing like that yet. We're still waiting to see. But this was what Merrick Garland came out with today. And the investigation, are you surprised, Kane? Anything shocking? No, there's nothing shocking. I just think it's convenient. I think it's convenient because they had always planned to do this. In addition to this is all the same stuff they were saying when this was happening. But what gets me is they'd never stop at any point. And they never said, you know, this is a predominantly Democrat city, has been run by Democrats generationally, and it's crazy that every single city that's dominated by Democrats, we see these exact same instances. So maybe it is the way that we are administrating this city and the way that maybe we're running police departments if we have such a big problem with it. Because think of it, you have the mayor who selects the chief and the city council, and they work with the police to determine their particular standard operating procedures and everything else. And I just, that never ever comes into play anytime these discussions are had, anytime these investigations are had, it never comes into play. So Merrick Garland there dropping that. I mean, nice to do it right there on a Friday, you know, for the weekend.
Right.
Nice little weekend treat for everyone. So I don't know. Is he trying to get people to protest and peacefully protest with fire? I don't know. I just, this whole thing. So that's number one. And then some of the other stuff that we're seeing. So I want to go down. Joe Biden, he's getting tired of being asked this stuff, you guys. You guys got to quit asking him this stuff. You guys got to quit asking him about the Burisma thing. Although I'm really excited that reporters are actually now finally starting to ask this question. I was wondering how long it was going to take before they started asking this, because when did this story break? It broke, was it last week, I think, when it first came in?
2 weeks ago.
The first question was literally asked, what, yesterday? Okay. You know, I'm not, at least they're trying, right? They're trying. So he was asked at one point when he, like the first time he was asked, he just kind of laughed about it. And now he's mad. Audio soundbite 6. He was mad. Listen to this. Well, there you go, fat. What a dumb question. Why'd you ask a dumb question? It doesn't seem dumb. I mean, are you literally compromised by the Russians? Because that doesn't seem like it's a dumb question. In fact, that seems like a very necessary question, considering you all defecated in your drawers for 40 years with all the Russia, collusion. I mean, everything. It was crazy. So come on, spare us with this. But he's mad. He was like, what a dumb question. You ask such a dumb question. But it is, it's not a dumb question, though. I mean, he was asked about, you know, the FBI whistleblower. I mean, he's been accused of being personally involved in a bribery scheme in which he received millions of dollars. He and his family received millions of dollars. And he's mad about, why'd you ask such a dumb question? Why do you have such a dumb answer, Mr. President? Just answer the question. See, this is why I can't. I couldn't do that. This is why I'm working commentary. Because sometimes, you know, I just don't feel like pussyfooting around with these people. There you go. We'll just came up with a joke just now. I'll wait till break to share it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're going to like it. You know, if you wanted to know what it was. Just saying. Okay. So this was, and that question, as you know, pertains to the 17, there's so many, the 17 audio recordings, 15 of which it's the Burisma executive with Hunter. And then two of them are Joe, with Joe also. So he's on there. And the executive is like, yeah, I did it. I did it to cover my butt. I did it to have an insurance policy. I did it to save myself. So, I mean, there's, of course this is going to get asked. Of course you're going to, you, the press was asking Trump about a made up story that the press fabricated about that Alpha Bank thing. So don't act, no, you guys don't get to do it and then us not do it. That's not how this works. It never works like that. And so Biden says, he's like, he's, you know, his surrogates maintain that he's consistently denied wrongdoing. And he goes, where's the money? Well, because it's up Hunter's nose. It's in some, you know, it's in some stripper's thong. I don't know. That's, you can answer that, Joe. You were the one who was writing checks for him to go and buy all these escorts. That's a fact. Receipts, hashtag receipts. That's a fact. So he's just not going to answer to any of it. They are, I swear to you, this is why they have Gavin Newsom waiting in the wings. I was going to talk about that a little later. Let me bring it up now, though. So Brian Kilmeade's a friend of mine. He and I actually have the same agent. Brian's a dear friend of mine. I've known Brian for years, and he had asked me to go on with him last night. I'm not going to. I have friends that are everywhere on both sides of certain issues with cable news, and I, you know, I'm being friends. And although there's some things I don't do, but he had brought that up, and when we were talking about this yesterday, and I had mentioned the fact that, can you imagine? I mean, because Gavin Newsom is not acting like a campaign surrogate, and I know I talked about this just a little bit yesterday, but I keep coming back to this because I think this is fairly significant. Think about all the times, right or left, when a former challenger decides that we're going to back the campaign of the incumbent. And then they go out and they do media. They do TV hits, whether it's on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever, on behalf of that candidate. Now, what do they talk about? They talk about that candidate. They talk about that candidate's policies. And they have at that point, because if they're acting as a surrogate for the campaign officially, then they bring them in and they give them suggested, like, here's what we're doing on policy. Here's what we're covering on this. That's how campaigns work. And that's why you see a lot of the surrogates say the same thing, because they try to stay on message. You see, I've seen Biden surrogates out there. I've seen elected officials. I've seen former elected officials. You see Biden surrogates out there, and you can tell who they are. I mean, they're brought on cable news for that purpose. But I want you to contrast them with how Gavin Newsom and what he's doing He's not acting like a surrogate. What is he talking about when he goes on cable news? He talks about himself. He talks about California. And then he goes after, not really Trump, he goes after DeSantis. It's weird. And every time he's given an interview, and normally I don't do this with Democrat candidates, not as much as I've done with this, he really doesn't talk about Biden at all. And if you notice in the previously in some of them have been written interviews, so it's not something I can actually play. Like, they'll reach out and get quotes from him, but he always pivots the focus away, especially if it comes through the perspective of a Biden policy. He always pivots it away from Biden to himself. He is not acting like a surrogate, because he's not. Now, he went out there and said he backs Biden and that's great, et cetera, et cetera. But then he's not. Normally, when they do that, they act like surrogates. They're not doing that. Not doing that at all. In fact, he sounds like he is still in the running. He's on the side. So he's serving two purposes. Newsom is simultaneously the attack dog for Democrats that Biden should be. And I think Democrats are using him in that capacity. But he's also the backup. So that's why he's not out there carrying Biden's coattails, because he's serving two purposes. He's being a team player for Democrats, and he's being an attack dog, but without looking like he's some stand for Joe Biden, so that he doesn't look like he's not making himself second to Biden in that regard. So it's a very interesting strategy, and he's maintaining focus on he's not really talking about Biden. He's talking about California. He focuses on his policies, even though they're trash, but to the point where it's like you wonder, why is he going out there and putting himself out there like this? California's, it's doing horribly. I mean, I have a story here. I literally have a story that's coming up. Californians are fleeing for Texas so fast, U-Haul has run out of trucks. This is like the second summer in a row that U-Haul has run out of trucks for people leaving California. That's bad. They're going to Texas and Florida. This is so bad. And he, even at the detriment of himself, is doing this because he is that desperate to not have it be about Biden. I'm telling you, it might seem dumb that he sat down with Sean, and it might seem dumb that he's like making all these remarks, but he's doing this to keep the attention on himself, even if it means he's got to throw himself kind of a little bit at the right and take some of the arrows for it. That's what it's going to cost for him to stay in that role. It's very, very interesting to watch the strategy play out. He's not going anywhere. He's waiting in the wings. Remember when Biden was out of the country and he went and held a press conference at the White House? Newsom did that. Remember? It's weird, right? Like, he made himself comfortable. He walked in like he owned the place. It's weird. So we're going to talk more about this. In addition, green energy, we're going to touch on this here in a little bit. Britain's firing up them coal plants. The rush to turn on air conditioning during the heat wave has caused a spike in demand for electricity. The solar panels are suffering in the hot weather. But, green energy, though. So we're going to get into all of that. We have a lot to touch on. We've got this for you. We've got the latest with the culture wars. The Space Force is now getting involved in it. I mean, have you heard about the alien threat? And they're talking about Caltech launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Caltech P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This Striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double stack magazine holds 15+1 total capacity. That's standard. All Caltech firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Caltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com. Secure your world with Caltech.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was joking with Kane and Steve and Juan. I'm like, that's the only disco song that's worth anything. I will fist fight you in the street over it. That one, when we jettison like our musical history of when the alien overlords descend, I will stand up for that one. Be like, wait, sirs, or things. That one in the disco catalog must stay. All right, anyway. Golly. This is the perfect segue. Joe Exotic is challenging Joe Biden in the Colorado Democratic primary. So you remember Tiger King kind of saved our sanity in the earlier days of the completely fascistic lockdown? Yeah. So he's now filed to appear, Joe Exotic, on his first state ballot against Biden in the 24 Democrat presidential primary. Everybody remembers the 60-year-old former zoo owner. He's campaigning from federal prison. He sent a $500 check to the Colorado Secretary of State's office so he could appear on the Super Tuesday ballot. And he told the New York Post that he hopes to appeal to rural and libertarian-minded Democrats in the state. I will say one of my favorite scenes of any show ever was when his zookeeper got their arm torn off by that tiger, and he went and grabbed like what appeared to be a members-only jacket, but it was EMT style before he could actually do EMT services. He had to put the jacket on. One of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, he was talking about debt and all kinds of stuff. And he also apparently doesn't like the Republicans. So there you go. And he's mad at Trump because he said Trump didn't pardon him when he had the chance. And he doesn't like DeSantis because he didn't think DeSantis would either. It's hysterical. Oh my gosh. I actually hope he gets on. That's so funny. So I'm not going to pronounce this castle, but it's the one that apparently it's kind of somewhat based. So the Disney castle, interestingly enough, do you know the Disney castle is reportedly based on the Marquis de Sade's castle? Which explains so much, right? Like the notorious libertine of all libertines. But apparently, like some of the geography of it is based on this German castle. And it's, it's the Neuschwanstein castle, that one. It's like the one that's on a cliff, basically. Anyway, some chick was, an American man was arrested over the death of one tourist and an assault on another at this Neuschwanstein castle. Don't correct me because I'm not going to remember it. In southern Germany, because he pushed two chicks down a steep slope. Yeah, he just like literally shoved him down a slope. 30-year-old man, the female tourist, 21 and 22, they were on a hiking path. And he was like, come look at this viewpoint. Never, ever take that. Never be like, okay, on this cliff. Yeah. So Mountain Rescue reached the women. And this dude, yeah, he's in trouble. He was arrested. So, of course, he should be. I mean, as he should be. Home Depot jumps on the tiny home craze with a $44,000 starter home kit. I am made of opinions on this. I hate this so bad. Remember the tiny home thing? I think they're trying to get you to be poor, eat bugs, and live on a square foot of land. Right. It's called the Getaway Pad. It's 540 square foot kit of hell, and you basically get to live on top of someone. Yeah, we're going to make fun of this coming up. Stay with us. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Disentangling people's motives, fears, you know, how much of it had to do with the fact that that was the first African-American president, how much of it has to do with the fact that, you know, despite some subsequent criticism from, you know, my allies on the left, I was the most progressive Democratic presidential nominee that we'd seen in a while. It's hard to say exactly. I think it's fair to say that something like the Tea Party does not get the traction, does not generate the heat that it does. Had it not been for the fact that I represented something that looked like something very foreign to people, to some people and scary.
He's, in his absence of actual knowledge on this, he sounds like a dumbass. By constantly going back to this, it's all race as well. That's stupid. That's just a stupid remark. That was former President Obama talking about how the Tea Party got traction because that was foreign and scary in a recent discussion. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. Well, I was one of the co-founders of that modern day movement. I was on the phone call with all these people I'd never met before. And then a couple days later, we were under the arch. And kicked it off on my radio program at the time, which was literally just on Sunday evenings then. And the other thing, too, about this is that the rancor and anger, just the all-over opposition to a lot of the stuff coming out in D.C. didn't start with him. I know that Barack Obama likes to fixate on himself and think that history began the day that he entered office, but it didn't. We were literally in the streets protesting before the election. I was literally, in fact, the Associated Press did an interview with me because I was in the streets protesting the summer before the election in 2008, because this was too big to fail, all of that stuff that was happening. And I mean, I remember that distinctly, how. And it was independents, libertarians, classically liberal conservatives. And it's like the media didn't want to pay attention to it until after the election. So they could then say, oh, well, they're out there because he's black. That's why. While ignoring that we had been out protesting months before. Like, and in fact, do you want to know how it started? The Tea Party started because of George Bush. Barack Obama did not start the Tea Party. Speaking as the person who was on the call with other people around the country, we had all been out in the street literally months before because we opposed the Wall Street bailout. We opposed Too Big to Fail. We opposed all of that. I was critical of No Child Left Behind because I thought it established federal standards that led the way to Common Core and all this other stuff. I mean, we were highly critical of this. Oh my gosh, so long before. Barack Obama doesn't get credit for kickstarting the Tea Party. That's George W. Bush. And then when Obama got into office, there were Republicans that were complicit. They were going along with the continuation of bailing out everything. And so the protests continued. And the media ignored it up until the point, oh, well, look, they're out there because he's black. That's how they decided to write about it. They didn't acknowledge it. You know, in fact, ultimately, the Tea Party began, I would say even the summer before that, with the Don't Go movement. And that was when there was a major debate in the House over energy policy. And it was right before August. It was right before recess. And a lot of the congressional members were going to leave and go back to their home districts. And some Republicans, there was a Texas Republican. This is before you had... like a lot of the live streaming functions. I think Kick was one of the only live streaming platforms that was out there at the time, and he was live streaming all of this. And so Republicans demanded that Democrats stay in the House and debate it. And Nancy Pelosi had the C-SPAN cameras turned off. They literally turned off the power, and then they had Capitol Police escort the Republicans off the premises. That happened. And that was how the Don't Go movement was started, because everyone was encouraging Republicans to stay. We were getting ready to get hit with a massive gas price increases, and everyone was encouraging Republicans to stay, thus the Don't Go movement. That's how it originally started. And then it was the opposition to Too Big to Fail, everything else. So ultimately, the thing that really motivated to get people like out in the streets to protest was the big bailout of all of that, which began under the previous administration to him. So he doesn't get the credit for this. He's trying to rewrite history I understand that the left has a victimhood fetish, but I think that there's something special in Barack Obama to sit here and simultaneously claim that somehow there's a huge swath of America that's racist, and yet still the United States, in an indisputable amount of votes, elected, you know, a black president. I mean, you can't have the narrative work both ways. And also, there were people who I think liked the fact that or didn't care, because that's not what people fixate on the right, that there was a black president, Nobody cared. It was, how are you going to administrate? Are you going to continue the, you know, too big to fail, all this other stuff? My gosh. But he went on because I think he does it to inflate his own importance. He has to find out, well, everyone opposed me because of this. It couldn't possibly have been my policies. It had to do because of race. So then not only he wants to make himself like the civil rights icon in that regard, but you're borrowing the creation of something that didn't come up in opposition to you originally. And it's a horrible, he impugns the characters of all of these people. He didn't even stop. You know what? If Democrats were smart, and this was Barack Obama and Democrats' big fail at the time. Everyone always sits here and acts like he's such a great thinker and this master strategist. But this is where they messed up. If I was a Democrat, you know what I would have done? I would have seized on those people who were out there when W was still in office. And I would have used it to drive massive division. Such massive division, because remember, Barack Obama, during the beginning of all of this, they had like a little bit, they took House and Senate, and then ultimately he had the shellacking in 2010. I would have driven that division and driven the Republican Party to where I would have prevented the shellacking in 2010, which ultimately remade everything. He didn't do that. They didn't do that. Instead, they took the least common denominator way to go. They're like, oh, well, they took the JV route. Well, let's just call them all racists instead of saying, wow, look at these people criticizing Republicans for their policies. They could have seized on that and driven that division. But instead, he makes this JV move of, oh, well, it's probably because they're racist. That's dumb. That was so dumb. They passed up, and I've talked about that before. I gave a whole speech about that some years ago. They missed an amazing opportunity to drive division because they were so obsessed with identity politics. They missed it. They could have actually driven a deeper division, I think, than what was created. And they failed to do so because they were obsessed with race. That was the Democrats screwing up. Now, with this, now you have Biden in there, who we were just talking about. Not going well. I don't think it is. I don't think it's going well for him. I want to touch on some of this 2024 stuff here. Because I have a couple, some things here. Rasmussen, 54% expect cheating and voter fraud in the 2024 election. I think a lot of people expect cheating and voter fraud. I think there's always, well, I know that there's voter fraud because I've told you this before. I've literally had people who were illegally registered at my home address, and it took me forever to clear that up. It was nuts. This idea that there isn't fraud, I think that's a fairy tale. The question is, we have such a decentralized voting system, and it was done that way to prevent easier fraud. It's a lot harder to do it on a national level. But people expect some of it. They expect something. But I don't want that to be used as an excuse to not vote, because that's what gets Republicans every time. Every single time Republicans lose, do you know that if you go back and you look at the breakdown of registered voters and you look at turnout and you look at enthusiasm, they lose because they didn't turn out. I think that's pretty significant. Incredibly significant. So, interesting. I just saw something that also caught my eye, a little bit of culture stuff. And I saw this over at New York Post. And I thought this was very interesting. So while, now don't lose it. So Beyonce's on tour. She's in Germany. And she hosted a gender reveal party during her world tour on stage. One of her fans was having a baby and she hosted it and she did the gender reveal on stage. Now you might think, well, that's dumb. Who cares? It's Beyonce. Beyonce, who is apparently influential enough to cause inflation in Switzerland, did a gender reveal party on stage during a time in which society is fighting over how many genders exist. Now, do you see the significance of this? They are very socially conservative. Beyonce and they're socially conservative. And they would probably, I bet they'd call her a TERF if they weren't afraid of her beehive. But I think this is where culture comes into play. And this is why this is incredible. This is why this stuff is important. You may not, I mean, look, you know, I'm not saying you got to agree with her on everything. My gosh, no one's saying that to acknowledge the story, you have to accept all this other stuff. I think that it's very telling. Because think of it. Everyone is being forced into this, like into the pronoun mafia. Everybody's being forced into this. The ESG scores, all this other stuff. And she does a gender reveal in Cologne, Germany. She does a gender reveal on stage. When people are getting fired from their jobs for saying they're two sexes, she hosts a gender reveal party on stage and mentions only two sexes. That's significant. So it was done not with any kind of, she just did it. It wasn't any kind of preaching or anything like that. There was no punditry. She just did it. That is, I think that's very, very interesting. She also kind of, especially with, I think, her last kids, I think she did that as well on Instagram. If she was anybody but Beyonce, how do you think that would people would react to that? Mm-hmm. Very telling, isn't it? You cannot mess with people that have blank you money. So no one in the media is going to go after her for that. No one's going to say anything. They can't. What are they going to do? They can't say anything to that. They're not going to. See, it's all such a charade. It's science until someone that they think is popular, more popular and cooler than them does something against it. And then they're quiet and they don't say anything. Thought that was very interesting. Just, you know, look at those. Look at the little. Some of the little, you know, the stuff in culture where you see it, it comes in some on very unexpected places sometimes. Although I don't think that's unexpected. I mean, when you look at the breakdown of communities, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, when you look at minority communities and you compare those to like progressive white communities, they're the ones that are all about the pronouns and all of this other stuff. The minority communities are not about that. Go all the way back to Prop 8 in California. We have a lot still on the way. Space Force. They haven't even gotten into space and they're already getting woke. I think maybe you need to do some space stuff first. Just saying.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We've known each other a long time. She was 17, I was 40. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, so a couple things here. That's the president of the United States talking about Eva Longoria. The first time he met her, his age difference between him and her is almost the age difference between me and my oldest son. And it was just kind of weird. But then did you guys see the was it a hug? Did it start as a hug? This is the new Zapruder thing. I really see. This is when I totally want to like just do like a whole separate thing and break down the we're doing that. Break down the video. Because he goes in for like a it's like a hug. But then, ladies, you all know what I'm talking about. Guys, hold up for a second. Ladies out there, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Like you go in for a hug and then the guy pulls back and he's got like your rib cage kind of, and then he keeps the thumbs right up there to graze. That's what that was. He grazed her boob. He totally did. That is an on purpose move. Dudes out there, now your turn. You know I'm right. Just be honest about it. We know. I'm not like, I'm just saying, y'all, you know, husbands, you know. I'm just saying that's what that was. That's what it looked like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he grazed side boob. That's what he did.
He did.
No, there's no defense of it. That's exactly what he did. That's not appropriate. Now, Juan's got the slow-mo. Oh, he totally grazed it for the simulcast viewers. If you're listening across the country, you can watch the simulcast as well. YouTube, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347. Now, he goes in, and she steps back. She has him, and then she grabs his arms, and then, oh, he got the thumb up. He grazed her boob. And then she steps back. She grabs it to, like, this is my space. Get, okay. And then she grabs his hands. You know, she neutralizes the threats and then steps back. And then she cheers for him, though.
Okay. Celebrates him.
Cheers for him. That was a boob graze. You cannot sit here and tell me any other way, right? Steve, you didn't see it. Did you see it? Yeah, see? That's a boob graze.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, dudes, don't. But when you're the president of the United States and you already have accusations against you, and you're in front of all of these people, including cameras, and you do this? What? Kane, that was a boob graze, right?
Yeah, it totally was.
I mean, that's in addition to all the sniffing videos we have.
I'm kind of shocked that he didn't do that. Like, he didn't get real close. Okay, so is he sniffing or is he trying to, like, blow on their necks?
Oh, God, stop.
It's gross, but we know. I feel like the conversation's needed.
Can we not?
Yeah.
Thank you, me. That was totally a boob graze, though. You all know that's true, right? Lorraine asked the chat. That was a boob graze. Y'all know that's true. That's it. All right, we got a lot more on the way. Second hour coming up. A lot more in store. Space Force. They want to get woke first. Stay with us.
What number are you up to now? How much have you identified of the money he's taken in from foreign
nationals? We have more bank records coming in, but we're going to exceed $10 million this week. Right. And I think we'll get up between $20 and $30 million.
Woo, that seems kind of significant. Wow, that's James Comer. And he's saying that it's not just like, because isn't that what everyone was led to believe? Oh, it's just like
$5 million.
It's $10 million. It's a lot more than that. It's a lot. I think it's probably more than this. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour with you. Dana Lash here. You're a lovable curmudgeon. Start your weekend off right. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347. By the way, always a discussion at YouTube with the folks who joined the chat on there. And I will say, because I asked them, the video that we played, just real quick, I just wanted to establish this. I am not alone, nor Steve, nor Kane, nor Juan, in thinking that the slow-mo version of Joe Biden kind of like hugging Eva Longoria yesterday and pulling his hands away and he grazes the boob. That was a graze. It was a boob side boob graze. And everyone in the YouTube discussion agrees.
Yeah.
Like unanimously. They're like, yep. Because it's what it was. It's weird. Like, why? Like, you don't have anything in your head that goes, wait a minute, I'm in front of people. Put your thumb down. Let go. You know, that doesn't. I know. I'm just. That's. It is what it is. I get it. All right. So this, the ongoing, I think that's incredibly important what Comer and Jordan and the House Oversight are doing. Incredibly important. Because, I mean, it's not really being fully. I mean, no one's really there. It's like they all want to move on. That's whether or not the president of the United States is actually compromised, I think is. What were the last like 6 years? What did we talk about for the last 6 years? Marussia. That's all we talked about. They've got stuff on Trump. I knew immediately that all that was garbage, too, especially the stuff with the peeing in the hotel. He is such a germaphobe. It is almost to the point of being like socially disabling. I feel that because I am the same way. I've gotten a lot better since the lockdown. Because when the lockdown happened, out of spite, I didn't want to listen to anything. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to lick a doorknob. That's what's going to happen. But before then, and Kane, you can attest to this. Like, it was kind of bad. You've never actually had to travel with me. So you never saw it full blown.
I've seen some full blown stuff.
Chris said it was like traveling with a non-kid toucher Michael Jackson. Because it's...
But yeah, you have your own Ziploc bag that has the disinfectant wipes in it.
I still do wipe down my seat because people are nasty. Can I just say something really quickly about that? Have you ever... Like, why is there all this... Like, I get you have to wait for the crew, but have you ever waited to get on the plane and you're like, what's the holdup? And they're like, oh, they're cleaning. And you're like, no, they're not. Because you've gone onto the plane before and it's like... Donkeys have been in there. There's crumbs everywhere. How do you do that as a human? You sit down in your seat and you're eating your things and you're just blah, 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 like Animal from the Muppets. Like, how does that work? There's like crumbs everywhere. Have you ever? It's so gross. So I have to, before I can do anything, I make sure I get out of the way. But I have to wipe everything. I can't. I cannot. There's something in my head that almost makes me want to projectile vomit. To know that if I put my tray down, there was a crumb there that fell from someone's mouth on it. I can't deal. I'm going to get back to the meat and potatoes. But do you guys know that I actually have a vomiting reflex? Little known fact. Ask my husband. It's 1,000% true. If I see... like really disgusting messes, or if I see someone else vomit, I can't even stop it. I cannot stop it. It happens like that. Chris will, I will lose it. I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I see it and it's just, bleh, I can't, there's no way I can stop it. It's like an actual thing. It's like a reflex or something to hilariously, horribly exaggerated degree. But it's a true story. True story. Anyway, long point is, I'm going to desperately bring this tugboat to shore here. The point of the story is that people are nasty. That's it. How did we get there from talking about Eva Longoria? We don't even remember the journey, folks. We just know the friends we made along the way. That's all we know. Yeah, okay. So, golly, I could not have like a child like Hunter Biden. One more aside. Have you seen him? For real. How do you have film on your veneers? I don't say that to like mock his appearance, although it's not true. But to show you how bad it is, right? How would you not intervene? How do you not intervene as a parent when that stuff happens? I don't care how old my kids are. I am, as long as I'm on this earth, I'm the parent. I don't care. I will drag you down Main Street and I will whoop your ass. I don't care. I will take every flip-flop I have and I will put it, I will Voltron it together to be one giant flip-flop and I'll beat you to death with it in the street. That's how that works. Okay, moving on. The Voltron. It's probably this. I think I just created nightmares for half our audience. They're like, no. It's actually scary. All right, so. I had, we talked about the Eva Longoria thing. We were talking about all this money, the 20 to 30 million new Biden bankrupt. How hard is it to just get this? I mean, I know they got to abide. They're going to go through the process. At this point, I think I'd be kicking doors in. Now, here's something fun. So the special counsel that is involved in this latest case with Trump, I thought his name sounded familiar to me. And the Washington Examiner did, too. Like, I thought it sounded familiar, but I just thought it's because his name is Jack Smith. I mean, hi, Fed boy. I mean, it just sounds, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, they're all named Jack Smith. What's your name? It's like Shorzy with the gems. What's your name? Jack Smith. Jack Smith. Jack Smith. All the Jacks. They're beauties. It really. Did you do your homework last night?
I did not.
Hate you right now. Don't talk to me. Dead to me. So they have Jack Smith. I thought he sounded familiar. He's been involved in the public integrity unit. Do you know the Justice Department has a public integrity unit? That's like the whorehouse having a chastity department. It's true. So they have this public integrity unit in the DOJ. And they have been, historically, they were involved in Lois Lerner's IRS scandal. Now, you remember the Lois Lerner IRS scandal. This was back, again, Tea Party days. You had these various groups that were trying to organize properly, which I still don't think I still think it was ridiculous that you even had to do this. That and to become like a tax exempt, 501c3, 501c4, whatever, a nonprofit, to organize as a nonprofit. And the IRS stalled them out to the point that it was actually prohibitive toward of their activities. Like, it prevented a lot of people from doing things that they should have been able to do because the IRS was stalling them out on purpose. And so Jack Smith, who's the special counsel in this latest case, he was picked by Merrick Garland. He led the public integrity section from 2010 until early 2015. Washington Examiner has a really good write-up of his history. That's why his name kind of, and I was like, I thought to myself, wait a minute, Jack, it's not just because his name's Jack Smith, it's because he's this guy. The Public Integrity Unit, or PU. The Pew Unit. Mm-hmm. And an IRS watchdog later, they admitted that the IRS committed wrongdoing. That's why they had to settle. So everyone's, if for anybody who says, oh, well, they didn't do anything, they actually had to settle the case. It's like not true. But they wanted, at the time, GOP wanted a special counsel to investigate. And they were trying to say, okay, Jack Smith and the way that he is operating the public integrity unit this is one of the reasons why we have to have this, a special counsel for this. So Smith testified previously that he spoke with the FBI about the nonprofit groups, and he basically lied. And so, long story short, he was right in the thick of it. He had been helping the IRS go after conservative groups back in 2010, and now here he is again. Anybody surprised? I can't stand Merrick Garland. I get warm fuzzies whenever I think about him not making it to the Supreme Court. Whenever I'm having a bad day, I think of Merrick Garland not being on the Supreme Court, and I smile so big. It's like a ray of sunshine just opens in my heart. It's amazing. It's a wonderful, warm feeling. I just immediately feel satisfied and full and content. It's close to the peace that surpasses understanding. It's right up there. It's pretty amazing. So whenever you're having a bad day, just go, that weasel is not on the Supreme Court, and smile. It's a wonderful feeling. So this guy's been involved in it all the time. These people, they never leave. They just shuffle them to different departments, to different areas. So this whole story with this guy being, he's involved in all of this, all of it, the whole thing. So sad. And now here he is, involved in another one. I knew you would appreciate that bit of information. Okay, Space Force, let's do it. Space Force Chief, we have this audio. The Space Force Chief says that the anti-alphabet laws threaten our military readiness. This was an actual soundbite. Listen to this. This is wild. Oh, I don't think... Well, I put it in our audio list. I don't think we got it. Well, we'll get it, and we'll play it after headlines. Because you had the Space Force Chief Operating Officer... Lieutenant General Deanna Burt, she went after all the state regulations that she was saying were anti-alphabet, and she literally said that she was saying that these were a danger to military readiness. So wait, how does forcing people to affirm your sexual cosplay affect military readiness? Listen to this.
This year, more than 400 anti-LGBTQ+ laws have been introduced at the state level. That number is rising and demonstrates a trend that could be dangerous for service members, their families, and the readiness of the force as a whole. When I look at potential candidates, say for squadron command, I strive to match the right person to the right job. I consider their job performance and relevant experience first.
No, you
However,
don't.
I also look at their personal circumstances.
I look at how they
and
have
their family
sex.
Is also an important factor. If a good match for a job does not feel safe being themselves
okay,
and performing at their highest
We're
going to
play more of this. We're going to let you hear her full remarks coming up after headlines. I just feel like maybe you should make it to space first. Like, after you conquer all the aliens, And we are, you know, if they need that, if we're not living in peace, whatever. And, you know, all the other problems are solved. And it's basically like, you know, Garden of Eden on Earth. Then maybe you can talk about playing pretend. But all this other,
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, here they come again. NBC says an FDA panel recommends updating the Rona boosters for the fall. No, thank you. The FDA must now decide which strain to include in the next round of boosters. That's not going to work. It's not an actual vaccine because they don't actually inhibit the transmission of the virus. So it's nothing more than a make-believe therapeutic. But if you want to get the make-believe therapeutic and get a Pfizer smile, go right ahead. I mean, you know, maybe. Go right ahead. Anyway, they said that they're thinking about making this. Oh, gosh, why? 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 I mean, you realize that one of the reasons that it's because of the, I mean, now people are immune. They've developed an immunity because they've got it. I mean, just, all right. ABC says cases of check fraud have escalated dramatically and Americans are being warned to not mail checks if possible. Check fraud is back in a very big way, they say, fueled by a rise in organized crime, forcing small businesses and individuals to take safety measures to avoid sending checks in the mail altogether. I'm always weird about my grandma used to, when she would send me a check for my birthday, would wrap it in like multiple pieces of paper, all kinds of stuff. And she, like, it made it seem like there was not a check in there. And she made it look businessy, like official, like government something. And it was weird the way she did it. And that's when I was like, oh, there's my birthday check. Thanks, Grandma. So, man, I'm telling you, the grandparents knew. They knew what was up. This is wild. In Ecuador, a woman was declared dead, but then she revived during her wake. A 76-year-old woman was declared dead at a hospital in Ecuador, and she just knocked on her coffin during her wake. Was like, here we go. One of the family members said, and this seems like the understatement of the year, quote, it gave us all a fright. You think? Can you imagine? They rushed the retired nurse, Bella Montoya, back to the hospital. And I mean, golly, she was how do you not? I'm just saying, I don't know. The doctors, no details have been released about anybody who prematurely declared her and that status. Let's see. I know you don't care, but I do think it's funny. Madonna and Sam Smith, I didn't know that they made probably a horrific disco duet. And it's already off iTunes after 6 days because it sucked out loud. And it's considered a YouTube flop. Floppy artists make a floppy song. There you go. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
So NBC, actually San Francisco Chronicle, NBC had a thing on it too. There's an editorial about how if you don't like bicyclists, you might be like racist also. And I'm like, wait, what? I tweeted about this yesterday. I saw this piece, San Francisco Chronicle. I have to share the story with you. It's so ridiculous. And welcome back, Dana Lash here. They write, quote, ultimately, hate of bicyclists comes from the same place as racism, sexism, homophobia, and transphobia. A desire to cling to the status quo power arrangements that favor some over others. Somebody thought that was smart to write. They say, oh, it's hate is dangerous, including against bicyclists. And the thought occurred to me, apparently not to them, though, that it can never be because they are annoying as hell when they try to act like cars without following the rules of the road as per law. This has nothing to do with any of this. I will never forget, like, when it was like, the first summer that we had moved to Texas. And there are a lot of roundabouts in Texas. Texas has a lot of rainy day money and they are obsessed with road improvements. I've never seen anyone so obsessed with road improvements. They love roundabouts. And if you bring it up on any like town Facebook page, what you're going to hear is somebody going, yeah, well, there's these studies done on roundabouts. And as it turns out, they're actually like really, they reduce accidents and all this stuff. Okay, whatever. But I got to tell you, I mean, it was our first summer living here in Texas, and I was on my way to the ball field with one of my kids. He played baseball throughout the summer. I was on my way to the ball field and was going to one of the big parks, the ball fields where everybody met at. And you have to go through a roundabout to get there, right? And I saw a bicyclist coming the opposite way. And there were a long line of cars behind her. And she literally thought, I guess, that she did not have to obey the rules of the road. She created sheer chaos in that roundabout. People were honking, slamming on their brakes. There were almost two accidents. She almost gets hit because she just goes right in the middle of it. If you're in the road acting like a car, you have to follow the rules of the road and you have to like give way, all that other stuff. She didn't do that. She literally pedaled right out in front of a truck. The truck slammed on their brakes. The person that was going behind him had to slam on their brakes. I mean, it was craziness. And then after she goes through the roundabout, she's passing me. She gets up on the sidewalk because there are bike trails and sidewalks everywhere. But she didn't want to take any of those. I'm like, I don't think you can do that, right? There's not. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that happen. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen bicyclists before. I was behind a car turning into the Kroger, actually, here in the town I live in. I was behind a car. There was a bicyclist that was coming up. They were turning and they literally had like the red, like if you're a pedestrian going to cross that road, there's times when you can cross and times when you can't, right? So they were not allowed to cross at that point. The vehicle behind me had total right of way. And they were turning, but the bicyclist didn't think that they had to stop. And he stopped and punched the vehicle, stopped on the sidewalk and hit the vehicle. There was clearly a red, like, you can't walk right now. I guess because he thought he was on a bicycle. And then the car in front of me drove up a little bit and pulled over because when someone, he didn't know this guy punched his car. It sounded like somebody, I mean, I'm sure it sounded like somebody like hit them. And I'm like behind here. I didn't even go. I'm like, what is happening? It's like a whole new breed down here. What is happening? Now, I've seen some bicyclists that totally follow the rules of the road. They know what to, but I've seen a lot that don't. And those are the people that make everybody hate bicyclists. And I'm not going to apologize for it because they almost get people killed. Oh my gosh. So that has nothing to do with race or homophobia or sexism, San Francisco Chronicle. It's because you have to follow the rules of the road if you're driving. If you're in a car, a bike, whatever. They have a victimhood fetish. Everything is because it's because I'm a victim. It couldn't possibly be just because, you know, we're aggravated at the people who don't know how properly ride bicycles, you know, out in public. But you know what? If they have to make it about identity politics so that they don't have to take any accountability. By the way, have you noticed? I have a theory. You want to hear my theory? Yeah. I think that all of the bad bicyclists are leftists. Yes. I have a theory. Because we had a friend who was super left and rode bicycles. And I just thought, you have all these stories about almost getting hit. I'm wondering if you're riding properly. Like if you're following the rules of the road, right? Like every week there was a story, dramatic story. Just makes me wonder. And that's not the only person. Just saying. We're just going to go out there. Just on a. Also, we invented the car, so I don't like bicycles. I mean, it's great if you're like, I'm going to get on my beachcomber or whatever that big bike is. Right? Isn't that what they call it? And I'm just going to, you know, we invented the car. If I'm going to exercise, I'm going to run. I don't care. You know, I'm just not into that stuff. I know. I don't know. And then why does it, one more thing. Why do all of the little bike uniforms look like they're like sponsored by someone, even if they're not? I say that because I have a friend who does know how to properly ride a bicycle, very good friend, and they have to put on their full bike gear, and it's the funniest damn thing. I love them to death, but oh my gosh, you guys, it's hysterical. I'm just saying, I'm sure they think, what? You play Call of Duty? Actually, I don't play it anymore. You play Warhammer? What? I'm sure they make fun of me. That's fine. We all have stuff to make fun of. It's okay. It's one big happy make fun of each other family. All right, so This, and then this is how horror movies start. I saw this last night, or right actually after radio. It's from The Guardian. Synthetic human embryos created in a groundbreaking advance. Excuse me? It's from The Guardian. They say scientists have created synthetic human embryos using stem cells in a groundbreaking advance that sidesteps the need for eggs or sperm. It's Guardian, so you got to read it with a British accent. They say, scientists say these model embryos, which resemble those in the earlier stages of human development, could provide a crucial window on the impact of genetic disorders and the biological causes of recurrent miscarriage. However, the work also raises serious ethical and legal issues as the lab-grown entities fall outside the current legislation in the UK and most other countries. The structures do not have a beating heart or the beginnings of a brain, but they include cells that would typically go on to form the placenta, the yolk sac, and the embryo itself. So they said that they create human embryo-like models by the reprogramming of embryonic cells. What? Oh my gosh. And they get really into, they talk about the stem cell development, blah, blah, blah. I am just telling you, this is how horror movies start. See, ladies and gentlemen, horror films are not just entertainment. Nay, they are, in fact, a guidebook to life. This is what not to do when this situation is upon you, right? No one talks about this. Like if you're in a dark park near a lake and you hear ch-ch-ch, that means you need to go away. You need to run. Doesn't mean you stay and think, wow, that's probably a giant cicada. No, it's not. You know, it's just like the basic things in life. Like maybe don't. So you're telling me it's just a meat sack. Is that what I'm hearing? Did you read this? You read this. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't like the phrase yolk sack. It's not, I don't like that. Mm-mm. So this is troubling to me.
I'm building a boat.
Yeah, this is really, just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. This is really, just creeps me out. How do they know it can't? They actually have no idea whether or not it could, matures past that stage. They have no idea. They said that. They're like, we don't know. It seems kind of troubling. Slightly. That's terrifying. So, also, in culture, and we got some other stuff to hit coming up next hour, meat and taties. Have you seen the self-checkout kiosks? All right, we're asked to tip everywhere. Let me lay this out here, because this will be an ongoing discussion over the next hour. There's a big discussion on whether or not the tipping, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Culture? Tipping in general in the United States has gotten out of control. And people are saying it's getting out of hand. So it popped up on Reddit because there was a woman, she was at an airport self-checkout kiosk. And she said, I was prompted to literally tip at the airport self-checkout station. Why? And it's, and have you noticed too, like if you do DoorDash or anything, Uber Eats or Instacart or anything, now it's like a suggested tip and it's never like 20% anymore. It's like 19-23%. It's very weird. Have you guys seen this? Like I'm fine for like delivery things like that. But I mean, when I had to go pick up flowers recently for a friend, I went in and I just picked up something that was already arranged and I went to check out and then the tip screen comes up and then they turn it towards me like here. And I'm like, no tip, because you didn't do anything. No, it was me. I should get the tip. Do you want to tip me? Like, it's kind of getting out of control. We're going to talk about this here coming up. We have a Florida man on the way.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
The ticket seller, Seat Greek, is also set to give customers the option of seeing all in upfront prices.
Wait, Seat Greek? Wow. Oh, see, I thought he was talking about like ticket prices with things like SeatGeek, but oh. I guess maybe there's just a special app for the Greeks. It's a Greek seats for seats for Greeks only. Right? Just that. Wait, there was another one he had too. Wait, hold up. I can't stop. Won't stop. Audio soundbite 5. I can't stop. This is too good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hit this one.
Some of them have used this process for years to sell tickets, events like DICE, and Newport Festival Foundation.
Yeah, obsessed. He was reading from that book in front of him at that presser. That's just not good, dude. Come on. What's up? What's up? Good heavens. All right. This, you know what time it is, right? What's that for?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so let's just go right through it. First off, Coral Springs talk. A man has been arrested because he choked his lady friend, his girlfriend, after she caught him in bed with someone else. So he faces charges of domestic battery by strangulation. He choked his girlfriend. She came in. Matthew Clay Allison of Coral Springs was arrested for battering and strangling his girlfriend. Police said they responded to a domestic violence incident at their home. They said upon arrival, the victim told officers she arrived at the residence to confront Allison about suspected infidelity and discovered him with another woman. According to the statement provided by the victim, the assault unfolded after an argument between herself and Allison. It escalated to a physical confrontation. He grabbed her by the throat, threw her on the bed, and began choking her. She struggled to breathe. She fought numerous times to prevent losing consciousness. She freed himself, escaped the apartment, and called the police. And so officers, they got both sides of the story, and he denied to officers that he choked her and said that she attacked him, but she literally had scratches and bruises all over her neck, her face, her arms, everything else, totally consistent with everything that she said he did. And so they determined he should be taken into custody. He posted a $1,000 bond. Wow. Like, that's, sounds like she should have choked him. Just saying, just, you know. This came from our YouTube discussion. Our friend Chuck, who says, this is from Fox 10 News. Alleged victims confirmed they ate meth at a Japanese restaurant. So they said they were drugged at a restaurant in Pace, Florida. So two of these Floridians are speaking out. They said it was Nico's Japanese Steakhouse. It's under investigation by the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and two state agencies. The business was shut down because apparently seven people tested positive for a narcotic. And now it was for meth. They all tested positive for meth. And two of the victims went to the ER. They said, one of them, Jordan Gray, said, quote, "It's been honestly horrifying. It took several days for me to get a full night's sleep. And even then I had nightmares." They said that they ate food. Deputies say the food they ate and their leftovers all tested positive for meth. They all described symptoms of heart racing, paranoia after eating the food. They all tested positive for methamphetamines. One of them was a nurse. And she said she was horrified. She says, quote, "As a nurse, as a professional in the community, and as a mother, I was just absolutely terrified." So they've all lost, like, appetite, all kinds of stuff. That's craziness. And their heart rate spiked, all of that. So they don't know how the drug got in. They're investigating, but no one's yet been arrested. So the investigation is ongoing. That's wild. I mean, now I'm like, do I need to take portable meth testing, like, with me wherever I go? Like, if I go, you just don't. It's terrifying. All right, last but definitely not least, Fox 35 Orlando. A woman wearing only a towel is accused of flashing children. Her excuse, quote, "I was too lazy to put clothes on." She's not the type that you would want to do that either. In Florida, this Florida woman was seen walking around naked, any KKID, with only a towel wrapped around her, exposing herself to kids, according to Mascot Police. Giselle Robinson, age 36, was arrested and booked into Lake County Jail on two counts of lewd exhibition. According to the arrest affidavit, officers were called to a Dollar General. She walked to the Dollar General lot. Kids reported seeing this crazy woman naked in the parking lot, and they said the kids were under the age of 16. When the kids asked her why, she walked up to the kids and asked if they had a lighter. And when the kids go, "Why don't you have clothes on?" She says, "I'm too lazy to put clothes on." Oh, and she's on the CCTV footage. Oh, she was also carrying a beer. Oh, she was taken to jail where she's being held on $10,000 bond. Whoo, boy. Stick with us. Third hour next.
Since January of this year, more than 400 anti-LGBTQ plus laws have been introduced at the state level. That number is rising and demonstrates a trend that could be dangerous for service members, their families, and the readiness of the force as a whole. When I look at potential candidates, say for squadron command, I strive to match the right person to the right job. I consider their job performance and relevant experience first. However, I also look at their personal circumstances, and their family is also an important factor. If a good match for a job does not feel safe being themselves and performing at their highest potential at a given location,
then they shouldn't be in the damn military.
Or if their family could be denied critical health care due to the laws in that state, I am compelled to consider a different candidate and perhaps less qualified.
So she's basically threatening everyone. Well, I have to consider a less qualified candidate.
Military.
Yeah, you're the military. This woman should be dragged off the stage, and she should be court-martialed.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's Space Force right there. Tell me again why nobody's enlisting. She's the Space Force Chief Operating Officer, Lieutenant General Deanna Burt. Will I consider... No, here's all you got to consider. Can they fight? Can they get the hell over themselves? This isn't a place to make up for the attention you didn't get from mommy and daddy. Okay, it's the military. Can you go out and fight? That's it. You have to be part of one force. That is it. Golly, I get so tired of this. And you wonder why people... I mean, Space Force could be something super cool, but instead now you got this. It is just... It's insane. And she's like, oh, well, because that sounds like a threat, honestly. When she sits here and says things like, well... I might have to hire someone less qualified. I mean, am I overanalyzing that?
No, that's what she said.
Yeah.
She literally said she would go for people less qualified.
Oh, my gosh. It's just craziness. Welcome back to the program, by the way. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. And this last top of this last hour, third hour here, Friday. Now, this is what it... How does your gender help in a... I mean, this whole thing, like Air Force has done it, all these people have done it, and I keep thinking back to, and it's like one of the coolest scenes. So it was right back as the Battle of Thermopylae, and this was in Zack Snyder's 300. I know it's like somewhat fictionalized, but what was his name? The betrayal of Leonidas, Ephialtes. He was the guy, at least in Zack Snyder's 300. Remember the guy who had a birth deformity, and he couldn't raise his shield, and he was very limited in what he could do, and he desperately wanted to in the film. And by the way, that apparently was based on something which was historical about the betrayal of Leonidas and how Xerxes' army was able to find a path, or like a goat herder's path around, and be able to come up from behind. But long story short, in that scene, Leonidas was talking to one of his subordinates, and they were discussing, you know, how to prepare for the onslaught. And that's when, you know, this character, this guy came up and desperately he'd followed them out there. He wanted to serve Leonidas. He wanted to be a Spartan. And Leonidas says, okay, well, how high can you hold your shield? Hold your shield. And he struggled. Like, he was really struggling to just even barely hold it up. And he couldn't thrust, you know, as well as the other Spartan soldiers. And Leonidas was saying, you know, this is all very admirable, and I appreciate what you want to do, but I cannot have any weak links. If you cannot hold your shield up, that means someone else is made vulnerable, because you cannot perform that task. And a vulnerability, that's a weakness, and that's an opening to defeat. And he's like, we can't have that. And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, affirmation or political correctness. Why should everyone else have to sacrifice their safety and everything in that particular scene because someone else wanted to feed their ego? I mean, part of life is recognizing the realities of it. And so in that scene, Leonidas was like, I'm not folding on this. You know, you can help me in other ways, but you can't do this. And so that guy got all mad and he went to Xerxes and betrayed him. And then, you know, the rest is history. And so this, I apply the same thing here with regard to military and this Space Force commander, this head of Space Force here. I was just asinine. DeSantis had tweeted out, my administration will never promote military leaders who abuse their power to push a woke ideology. Nation needs to focus on military readiness and not an ideological agenda. And that's true, because that's what this general is doing. Lieutenant General Deanna Burt, that's exactly what she's doing, is focusing on this. And that the statement that she made there at the end, well, you know, I'd have to select someone who's less qualified. Like, I'm looking at her career. She's the first woman to hold the rank of Major General in the United States Air Force. And, you know, I'm just looking back over her career. She was in Nevada and Virginia, and she's got the Command Space Operations badge, the Space Staff badge. She's done a lot of, she was in Germany for a little bit. I mean, obviously she hasn't seen combat. Oh, I got some opinions you're not going to like. Can you guess what they are, Kane? You do. Some people will be like, you're so sexist.
Confused me.
Yeah, I think if you can't serve in combat, you shouldn't be sending soldiers to combat. Thank you. No, you shouldn't. Nope. The end. That's the end of it. I mean, that's... Because the rest of it, is it about your ego or is it about actual fighting force? A lot of people think that feeding their ego and sacrificing for the greater good are one and the same. They really do. They convince themselves that it is. For her to say this, well, in these states where they can't get, you know, you're accommodating a mental illness that makes you unfit to serve. If you are so hell-bent on making everyone else affirm the imaginary way in which you see yourself to the detriment of our fighting forces, that should not be accommodated. That should be excluded from the military, because the military is built upon exclusion. It's the best of the best that goes out and fights. And all these people say, oh, well, you know how the left used to talk down about military? Like the people whose families didn't serve used to talk down about the portions of America who, you know, disproportionately sent their sons and daughters to go fight. They seem to kind of change their tune on that because they think they can use it as leverage. But this is one of the reasons why, yes, it's the military is getting woke, and it's one of the reasons why recruitment is down. It's one of the reasons why people don't want to serve. And it's also one of the reasons why now Democrats are having that flirtatious language once again with the draft. Well, Democrats and Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't care how much you like Vivek Ramaswamy. He was on the program. I'll always have him on the program. But when you're talking about solving issues with big government and forcing either a draft or a national service, that's a statist issue, trying to solve a societal problem. And that is the problem with big R Republicanism. And that's one of the reasons why we're in this situation, because people think that you can solve societal issues with government solutions. And that's never been successful in the entire history of mankind. So I just found what she said here. Well, I have to hire less qualified people then. Oh, because apparently the only qualified people in her perspective are. I don't think that she's fit for her position. I think she's a diversity hire. Yeah, I do too. She's a woman. We're going to make her Lieutenant General of Space Force. I'm not demonizing Space Force, but. And I don't feel like being kind about it either, because I have kids who would be, if, you know, Democrats and people like her got their way and got to draft everybody, I mean, my family that would be it. So I will not apologize for having very caustic opinions on this. And neither should you. There's just no room for this in military. And then you have this with Texas. So I saw this over at KFOR, a realtor. This is unbelievable what they compared this to. A realtor is helping Alphabet Texans leave the state through the Rainbow Underground Railroad. Oh my God. Someone thought that's a good thing to write. So apparently, I didn't know that the Alphabet Texans were not free to own property or to go wherever they wanted to. And I didn't know that there was a law that requires the return of Alphabet Texans you know, if they leave, they're fugitives, to return them to Texas. Ooh. No one cares if you leave. Really, nobody cares. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Nobody cares. Like they had, and it's always, whenever they talk to the, they give, whenever they interview people, they're trans activists. They have entirely hijacked the whole thing. Like they were talking to this one individual, this one activist, and he's like, yes, I'm leaving the state. I'm going to find a friendlier place to call home. And what do you watch him go to California? We're leaving. And they call it the Underground Rail. Oh my gosh. One of these guys actually said, we're calling it kind of the Rainbow Underground Railroad. Seriously? You know, your side was the one that was doing the stuff that made that necessary, right? Okay. I just want to make sure that you understand that. I mean, it is, they go, oh, these laws are discriminatory against, I mean, how dare you stop minors from being pumped full of hormones when you have no idea what it's going to, the long-term effect on their health. How dare you actually demand on informed consent? I'm not ceding this ground. And to sit here and compare it to the Underground Railroad? Really? You're upset because you can't involve minors in this stuff? This is based on how you have sex. And you're literally comparing yourselves to the Underground Railroad. Either you're historically illiterate, or you just think that you are so privileged as one of the most protected classes on God's green earth that you can just appropriate not only the female sex, but we're just going to go ahead and appropriate everything, the whole Underground Railroad. Go. What else are you going to take next? My gosh. We have more to discuss, not just on this, but guess what happened in Arkansas? So Hunter Biden, they dragged him into court, right? Guess who showed up at his Arkansas deposition? We'll talk about that after we come back. Oh, I know. We got headlines on the way. Oh, you hate me now, but that's okay. You see, it's why you're going to stick around.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is NBC New York. New Zealand police find over $150 million worth of meth hidden in Canadian maple syrup and canola oil. What are you Canadians up to? Authorities from Australia, Canada, and New Zealand said they worked together for more than 5 months to unravel the elaborate scheme, and it was worth billions of dollars. A drug syndicate. They try to smuggle all this meth from Canada. Wait. Okay. I know that they have drugs there, but this is very uncharacteristic of Canadians. Just want to say, I thought you people were polite and pure and wholesome. They said the drugs, except for the ones that try to go after the truckers, not you. The drug syndicate that tried to smuggle tons of meth from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, hiding it and all this, they've been busted. They had to have three countries that worked together. They had 2,900 liters of liquid meth. I didn't even know you could liquefy it. I actually don't know what it is, but it's like substance. Liquid meth? Hey, Southern Fried Punk Rock band name. Liquid meth. You would wear that shirt. You know you would. We have that. Okay. So they've been doing this for quite some time. Liquid meth. Okay. Also, this Newsweek has a story. Russian ships collide after the captain gets drunk. Two oil tankers collided in Russia's Irkutsk region Tuesday after a captain became intoxicated, said authorities, and caused a spillage of fuel into a local river. Igor Kobzev, the region's governor, introduced a state of emergency in the Kerensky district after the vessels collided. They don't know how much spilled, but they said that it could be. It's the world's 11th longest river, so it's pretty bad. And it was a bunch of LNG. The tanker Rudolf Samoilovich, sailing under the flag of the Bahamas. And they said it's an oil slick resulting from that. And they said the captain was totally drunk. They did tests. They said he was totally drunk. He was just drunk. And they need a legal assessment. Boy, there's like so many jokes and stereotypes here. Oh, by the way, Meghan Markle, didn't she get an award from the Gracie people? Yeah, the grease, totally not a popularity contest or a political, you know, greasing of the palms entity at all. She got this big female broadcaster award. Well, Spotify canceled her podcast because she, it was a poorly unreceived second season. They said she wasn't doing enough work. So they said that they didn't produce enough content, her and that ginger, the suitcase girl and the ginger, to get their $20 million payout. And so she's canceled. I mean, yeah, she doesn't even understand what an archetype is. I mean, yeah, stick with us. We got more in store.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Oh, I got to let it go into the chorus for those not hearing the song. A little Miranda Lambert, Gunpowder and Lead. It's probably one of the best country songs out there from one of my favorite girls. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. I told you there was going to be some drama in this Arkansas courtroom. And it was about Hunter Biden. Because remember, he had to answer questions, give his deposition in this ongoing court battle with his daughter that he won't acknowledge and won't even doesn't even want her to have his last name, Navy Jones. And her mother, London Roberts. So he had to go. He was forced to answer questions today, apparently, in Arkansas. And guess who turned up at the courtroom? London Roberts. The mama showed up at the courtroom. And she turned up in person to hear him being deposed for the first time in this child paternity battle. And I mean, her attorneys are grilling him under oath because they're asking about all these. You know, he was the one that got himself in this position. Think of how stupid this man is. First off, he gets with London Roberts. He has her on the company payroll. Then when he decides he doesn't want her anymore and she's pregnant with his child, he kicks her off, fires her, kicks her off company health care. Won't have nothing to do with her. Didn't even want to acknowledge the kid. She forced him into a paternity test. Surprise, it's your baby. It's not really a surprise, but, you know, it's your baby. And then he still didn't want to pay, so she had to force him then. And then he wanted to pay just the bare minimum. And the judge, in these cases, the judge will always look at how the other kids are living. All of Hunter's kids were living the high life. Hell, all of them are in the, aren't they all in the White House? It's like the Delaware hillbillies up in the White House. Everybody's living up there. All the grandbabies, everybody's living up in the White House. You know, you pay for all that food and security. Mm-hmm. And so the judge was saying, well, you can't just kind of disregard this daughter just because you wanted to discard the mother. That doesn't have anything to do with it. And that's what they look at. And she was, you know, she's the mom's like, I want my daughter to be taken care of. You at least need to own up to your responsibilities. And so he's been telling everybody, he was like, oh, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I can't possibly do this. I can't, you know, he didn't want to own up to his responsibility. And he was telling the judge and the court that he was broke. And so hiding his finances, not turning over records. So they had to threaten him multiple times. So now he had to go give a deposition. And now, because he did all this, because he lied and said he was broke, they get to grill him about everything, including his business deals regarding Burisma and China. I mean, I guess he didn't think that through, right? Golly. So dumb. So now it just opens up. She showed up in court. He's there in court looking like a hot mess. And London Roberts comes in. She's wearing a black dress. She just, I mean, comes in looking like she's there to hunt bear. Good for her. Because it is, I mean, it's insane that she has to fight this much just to get this guy to do what he's supposed to do. But what he's, all this stuff has to come out now. He has to answer questions about all of this. Now, they had settled the case back in 2019 and everything was set. But what ended up happening is that Hunter came back and said, I'm not paying this much for Navy Joan. I'm not doing it. And so he decided, because he didn't want to honor the agreement that they made, in 2019. And because he did not want to take care of, you know, his child, he wanted to pay less. That's why they're back in court. And the mom's not budging. And good for her. Good for her not budging. So she showed up in that courtroom. Man, I wish. Wouldn't you just wanted to hear that conversation that Hunter had with his attorneys? Because you know that rocked him. He was probably like, oh my gosh. Now, the circuit court judge, Holly Meyer, she threatened him with jail time. She said, I'm going to jail you for 6 months unless you come clean about how much money you're making. So that's, she was deposed Wednesday of this week for 7 hours. So he's in there now. And they told him they'll jail you if you don't do it. And he has refused like daddy. He won't produce his financial records. They've ordered him. He hasn't done it. He said he's unemployed and he has no monthly income. He drives a Porsche and he lives in a mansion in Malibu. And next door to his mansion in Malibu is our taxpayer-funded Secret Service. They got to do their job. But, you know, Hunter doesn't have to live in Malibu. He lives in Malibu because that's what he thinks wealth is. So he's making taxpayers pay for all this. You know, he could be living at one of Joe Biden's homes. Joe Biden has three homes. Hunter could be living at one of those homes. And there's enough land, especially around the one of the Delaware houses, for their Secret Service to put up a thing like they did with Reagan's. You know, Reagan at the Reagan Ranch on Santa Ynez Mountains way up at the top. There was enough land where they made their own like makeshift Secret Service barracks. They could do something like that there and they wouldn't have to be paying literally. How much was it a month? It was almost six figures a month.
50 grand a month, something like
yeah, that. And that's taxpayer funded because Hunter wants to live in Malibu. Sidebar, when I was at SHOT Show, I met one of the Secret Service agents that's on his detail. He didn't say it outright. He was very professional. But it said you go as, you know, you have your profession and your name, and it had his name and then Secret Service Malibu. And he came up when I'm trying to remember what booth I was at. I think maybe I was at the Triumph Systems booth and I was signing some books and came up and I met him and I told him I appreciated what he does. And then I said, Malibu. I'm like, yeah, you got, I guess you have a very, very important principal out there to be in Malibu. And he goes, yes, member of the president's family. And I'm like, hmm. And I knew he was very nice. I even got a picture with him. He turned his name card around. Very smart. But he's been, I mean, that's, and Hunter Biden doesn't need to be out there, but he's out there. And Secret Service has to be out there because it's a member of the president's family. See, and the reason that they guard the president's immediate family is because they don't want the president to be compromised. Although, according to Comer and Jordan, it looks like he already is with Russians. So Hunter was telling everybody, I'm broke. I don't have any money. He drives a Porsche. He lives in a mansion in Malibu. But he sells his paint. How much was he selling his paintings for? Six figures.
Yes,
yeah. Where's that going? I thought he's selling that, but he's broke. He can't take care of his kid. London Roberts would not back down. And in the discovery request, so all this stuff has leaked from the discovery. This is what you're going to see with the Trump case, by the way, when they start the process of discovery. So in the filings, it was leaked out that Hunter has vociferously opposed Navy Joan, or I should say vehemently opposed Navy Joan becoming a Biden. He does not want her to have his last name. She's an adorable little girl. There's not a lot of pictures of her face out there, but she's an adorable little girl. I just, like, how would you turn your back on that? And Joe and Jill are garbage people for enabling this. They are absolute garbage people. And he's, you know, the court brought up, you jet set everywhere. What are you talking about? I feel bad for that little girl and I feel bad for what he's putting her mom through. And have you noticed what the left has done? Now they're ignoring it. But remember when all this first came to light, what do? They went after London Roberts and they were trying to make fun of her for being a bottle girl and all this other stuff. And, you know, that's the party of empowering women, right? Don't body shame women. Don't slut shame women. Don't all of this stuff. And then just like they did with Monica Lewinsky. Now here they are. They were trying to do it to London Roberts. Not a single one of these so-called feminists out there, nor Democrats, have demanded that that family acknowledge their grandchild. It's their grandchild. They act like she doesn't exist. You ask Joe Biden how many grandkids he has, and he always admits her. That's just disgusting. I think you're jacked in the head and in the soul if you act like that. I think Jill and Joe both have issues, and that's why their family's white trash. I have nothing kind to say about people because that's abusive. That is absolutely abusive to that child. I have nothing kind to say about people who do that. You're no mother if your boy is not standing up and taking responsibility for life he created. And you're no father. You've raised a garbage human, and some of that does come back on you. I mean, I can't imagine. There's no way a son under my roof would be allowed to get away with that. Oh my gosh. And it angers me because how often, what have you heard from these people for the past, like what, how many years now? You don't care about the kids. You don't care about the kids. You don't care about babies. You don't care about women. And then they act like, oh, the single mom, we have to have government provided childcare and all this other stuff. We have to care for women. Me too. Well, you have a great chance to walk your walk here and you're refusing to do it. The internet's forever, and I genuinely do feel bad by what this little girl's going to read. I do. I mean, to come up like that is harsh, man. Super harsh. So a quick note to the program. I think you saw this in one of our headlines. Our friends over at Talkers Magazine and Michael Harrison, they put us at number 5 in their Talkers Heavy 100. So Brian Kilmeade's right ahead of me, and I'm going to have to Tanya Harding him, I guess. I'm joking, Brian. Don't come at me. I guess I'll have to, Tanya Harding style, go at him. No, we came in at number 5. So just wanted to say thanks to Talkers Magazine and Michael Harrison and our radio team and all of you out there who make this possible. And we have millions of people that tune in to the broadcast across the country every day. And then, of course, we have people who stream the program and people who watch the simulcast of the radio program. So you all made it possible. So thank you very much for that. We are greatly appreciative. And we love what we do. We really do. Except the times that Kane has to hover by the dump button. He doesn't like that. Or the times that I try to shout band names out at them, and maybe we're just totally not off air yet. One of those things.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So it came out a little bit earlier today that the Teamsters, you have the Teamsters Union, also they said that the unionized UPS employees, etc., So there's a lot going on right now. There could be a worker strike coming up. It could be one of the largest worker strikes in history. So you have negotiations between UPS management and the Teamsters continuing. And one agreement is set to expire at the end of July. They have 350,000 of their members working as UPS drivers. And rank and file just gave the nod to go on strike if they can't get come to an agreement on a contract by July 31st, they said the walkout would begin on August 1st. Now, to understand the ramifications of it, it would be what I think the largest worker stoppage since 1959, I think is what the date was. Pretty significant. So they've authorized it if they cannot get, they voted 97%. If they can't get a contract by July 31st, then the Teamsters that represent the UPS package delivery drivers and the warehouse logistics workers and all of that, they would walk. So that's going to be, it's going to be really significant. So we'll see. Wait, where's, labor? We're hearing from Joe, like what's, anything happening with him? Anything at all? No? Oh, goodness. Now, on with this too, I wanted to get this headline with you real quick. Britain's been firing up their coal plants. Solar panels have been suffering in hot weather.
What?
Did you know? They've been turning on, they've had a heat wave. I kind of think that what they think is a heat wave is not what we think is a heat wave in Texas. Just saying. So they said that as the temperature of the solar panel actually increases, the output current and the voltage output reduce linearly. And so they said that it gets problematic if it gets too hot. Interesting.
But they're supposed to be in the sun.
Well, I also, Kane, like you, assumed that, you know, because solar panel. Yeah.
Have to be in the sun.
Yeah, it has to be
Sun's
in the sun.
Hot.
A quick programming note as well. So our radio team, we're taking advantage of when Congress goes back to their home districts and is out of D.C. So we don't have any legislation or breaking things like that we got to watch. We're going to take that opportunity and we're going to be going on vacation next week. So, you know, everybody here is going to be doing stuff with family. So letting you guys know as well. And then we got Lorraine who's going to be heading up the newsletter and we have some great fill-ins and what are we doing? Some great fill-ins and we have some select best ofs as well. And we're going to be all back together on July 5th. It's the biggest vacation that we've all ever taken. We need it going into the primary seat. We need it going into next year.
Oh, man.
It's going to be crazy because then everybody's coming back to D.C. So if any breaking news happens, it will be covered. And, you know, I may be in there from time to time as well, but just giving you all a heads up, too. Today in stupidity. Okay.
All right. It's Governor Gavin Newsom. He was asked about the businesses and people that are just leaving California and specifically the businesses leaving downtown San Francisco. He says it has nothing to do with theft, drug use, violent crime. It's what he calls macroeconomic shifts. Listen to this.
I think they're struggling to recover from the pandemic. They're struggling to come back. They're struggling with the macroeconomic shifts, particularly as it relates to telework, as it relates to what's the future of a downtown.
The macroeconomics of it all.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's that's poop in the streets. Mm-hmm. That's what
folks, that does it for us this Friday. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Back on July 5th.